Oh, you should get that looked at.
I cannot.
Bonnie,
afford
that sounds
that.
Like
I just
you.
Had some dentist work done last week and found one medical discount
Bonnie,
program
what?
For only $8
that
a month.
That sounded like
wow.
you.
Wow, that's a great deal.
I found ehancebenefits.com on the net and saved 40%.
Ehancebenefits.com? Can I call them?
I have the number right here. 1-877-EHANCED. You can pay my
email.
What?
That's 1-877-EHANCE or www.ehancebenefits.com. What's for dinner?
Roy, I told you I had a meeting tonight.
What can I feed the kids for dinner? My gas tank is on empty, and doesn't Bobby have piano lessons tonight?
Yes, and we're out of milk and bread.
Where can I get gas, milk, bread, and dinner too?
Just stop at the Jiffy Mart. You can get your gas at the Shell station, the milk and bread, and delicious subs from Subway.
Thanks, honey, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of Jiffy Mart?
Yes, Roy, I wonder why.
Stop by Jiffy Mart on Main Street in Carroll, Westminster, Maryland. Open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mention Liberty Works Radio and get a free coffee or soda. That's 74 West Main Street, Jiffy Mart. This is Liberty Works Radio. If you'd like an audio copy of any of our programs, please call 410-857-5600. Thank you for listening.
This is Liberty Works Network News, and I'm Mark Allen. An article in the New York Post says a CNN commentator and fellow at the American Enterprise Institute thought there must be something wrong with a recent CNN poll. William Schneider saw a poll that showed Americans evenly divided on whether George W. Bush, who doesn't talk too much about guns, or Al Gore, who's made gun control one of his presidential campaign themes, handles the gun issue better. Schneider requested the question be asked again, and it was, with the same result. Democrats, liberals, the press, most of the Washington political community, even a good number of Republicans thought the politics of the issue was transformed post-Columbine. No longer would the intensity be on the side of the National Rifle Association and gun owners. Author Fred Barnes, writing in the Post, says now it would be with middle-class voters, suburbanites, soccer moms. They would force queasy Republicans to swallow gun control or else lose in this fall's election. He says quite the opposite has happened. NRA membership is soaring and may reach 4 million by the end of the year. Most Republicans feel politically secure on the gun issue, and President Clinton has jettisoned the not-so-popular phrase gun control in favor of gun safety. The Air Force is investigating whether its first female chaplain to achieve the rank of general made an insensitive racial remark in the presence of officers who make chaplain assignments. The Washington Times says Brigadier General Lorraine Potter, Air Force Deputy Chief of the Chaplain Service, made the remark the day after her promotion ceremony in October, when General Michael Ryan, the service chief of staff, pinned on her first stars. Reports of the charge angered blacks in the chaplain corps, who see it as a clear signal they will encounter prejudice in gaining promotions. More news after this.
Once upon a time, in a country far, far away, honesty and integrity were held in high esteem.
Today, hardly a week goes by without another revelation that some political hack has abused his or her office and committed some atrocity.
But now there's Liberty Works Radio Network.
Talk radio that remembers the principles and concepts that made this country the greatest nation on earth.
Using the freedom of speech to echo the sentiments of the common man.
No man can fail too much or fall too far should he fail or fall in defending the Constitution.
Brutally honest, legally accurate, and absolutely guaranteed to be politically incorrect.
Where your opinion won't be censored and the issues are objectively reviewed.
Join Liberty Works in uncovering the cover-ups and go beyond the status quo.
You're listening to Liberty Works Radio Network. News, information, and entertainment 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Oh yeah, you also get news every 30 minutes and the latest from the internet without having to log on.
In other news, police say 26 people were killed when suspected cattle rustlers attacked a homestead and fought a gun battle with police officers in north-central Kenya. The suspected rustlers, believed to be members of the Pokot tribe, attacked a homestead belonging to the Turkana tribe, killing 9 people. A police spokesman said they pursued the gang and caught up with them in a village about 132 miles north of Nairobi. A heavy gun battle ensued and police shot 17 members of the gang to death, arresting 4 others. The police suffered no casualties as they recovered 852 head of cattle, 240 camels, and 470 goats. Cattle rustling is reported to be endemic among herding communities. that's traveled the region that crosses the borders of Kenya, Uganda, Sudan, and Ethiopia. Easy access to modern weapons is said to have made the traditional raids increasingly deadly.
Now recording.
DNA tests have confirmed a child who died in prison in the year 1795 was the uncrowned king of France, Louis the 17th, ending two-century-old rumors that the young royal was switched in jail and whisked into exile. Scientists say in a report issued by Belgian and German DNA specialists that the results support very strongly that Louis the 17th, and not a substitute, died in the Temple prison in Paris on June 8, 1795. According to the official version of events, he had died at the age of 10 after contracting tuberculosis of the lymph glands. But even before his death, rumors spread that a Scarlet Pimpernel-style character smuggled the boy out of prison and took him abroad, and his place was taken by another child. That's the news on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Across America, children are waiting for the Easter Bunny. But across the globe, in places like Latin America and Africa, needy children are waiting for food, waiting for medical attention, waiting for comfort. You can end the waiting for one needy girl or boy by becoming a Christian Children's Fund sponsor. Call 1-800-718-1313 and see how much you can provide for a needy child with a gift of just 80 cents a day. Food, clothing, education, proper medical care, all for just 80 cents a day. A small price for the life of an innocent child. Please call 1-800-718-1313. Within 10 days, you'll receive information and a photo of a child who needs your help. There's no obligation.
Is Christine on the line, Bonnie?
Health and hope to a boy or girl waiting for you to
Thanks.
Call. Please don't make that child wait. Put aside the Easter candy for a moment and learn how easy it is to become a Christian Children's Fund sponsor. Call now, 1-800-718-1313. That's 1-800-718-1313.
Well, this is who I am, this is what I am, and I can be the best of who I am, and I am somebody. I'm a person with retardation, but I can be the best person with retardation. Well, I wanted one thing, I wanted to be an athlete, and Special Olympics gave me that opportunity.
15.
My dream became reality.
There are many children and adults with mental retardation, like Loretta, right here in this community who can benefit from year-round sports training and competition. But they need your help. Inspire greatness. Support your local Special Olympics program.
From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
All aboard!
Yeah! Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Oh! Who's that baby?
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Ozzy Osbourne on AM.
Yeah!
Let's do it.
Boys are back. Willem back is Stephen Pickford and Art Farley with us here on the air on Travel World. Welcome
Good
to another episode.
Good morning, Stephen Pickford, coming to you across America, and Art Farley behind the desk with us this morning as well.
Absolutely. So today, we've returned finally from our great trip to Vermont. We're going to go to Iceland, but we're going to Iceland in 2 weeks now.
2 weeks. We had to kind of move things around because of the threatened strike by machinists at Iceland Air, and they've called that off. Probably going to go on strike in 2 weeks' time, the day we plan to go again. But
we'll keep our
fingers crossed, because that's the destination we're certainly looking forward to covering. And this time we'll be staying at the guest house Anna in the former Czech embassy. So that should be an interesting and distinctive property upon which to review and report upon.
When Anna smiles. And it's also the Easter weekend, also for our Jewish listeners, happy Passover as well. And we also welcome to our show, behind the console in Maryland, our Easter Bonnie. And that's a joke she hasn't heard more than 6,000 times.
Probably about 27 times, all from you, Willem.
Yeah, that's right.
This morning we have a couple of guests for you. After the 30 minutes past the hour, I'll be talking to Alan Friedman, a Chicago taxi driver, about some of the funny incidents. You go visit cities and you see taxi drivers, you don't really know that much about them. And Alan has a few stories of his own to tell. But beginning the program, we'll be speaking right now to Christine Negroni. She is a CNN correspondent who has written a book, Deadly Departure.
About and I thought that 9:40 News in Montreal was the only place that you could hear CNN, huh?
Well, in Montreal, there's actually too many places you could hear it, and you don't have to listen to all boring radio. You can listen
this
to
it. This is actually perfect for Liberty Works, isn't it? Because she's talking about a conspiracy.
Yes, can one of America's deadliest air disasters happen again? Christina Groney joins us now to talk about her book, Deadly Departure. Good morning.
Good morning. I heard the C word.
The C word, yes, conspiracy.
The conspiracy word. The missile theory folks have got their ears perked up now.
Oh, yes.
You got their attention.
Yeah, well, I read the book on the Flight 800 TWA, and they proposed the missile theory. And I have no idea the relative merits of that particular one, but apparently you have another theory.
Well, it's utter nonsense if you're talking about the book, The Downing of TWA Flight 800, and
that
not only is it nonsense in my opinion, but the author of that book has already written another book in which he disputes his own findings in the first book, and now offers up a new theory about what happened. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is that the conspiracy that I talk about in Deadly Departure is a conspiracy to not act on a known safety design flaw on all Boeing aircraft and instead, you know, keep their corporate fingers crossed and hope that no more plane crashes happen from this cause. But that was not the case, as TWA Flight 800 clearly shows.
Every Boeing aircraft has this design flaw?
Yes, and let me back up and just tell you a little bit, because I know you've read the book, but I know your listeners,
right.
Many of your listeners have not. It's just out. But the point of Flight 800, or I should say the lesson from Flight 800, is a lesson that insiders in the aviation business should have learned back in 1963 when a Pan Am 707 exploded when lightning hit the plane. The center wing tank, which is the big fuel tank that is where the wings and the fuselage join together, that tank had volatile vapors inside. The lightning ignited those vapors, the lightning ignited a wing tank, which then ignited the vapors in the center tank, and the plane blew apart from its very heart.
Well, I think you can forgive an airplane for blowing up if a lightning bolt hits it. I mean,
no, that's not true. And I'll tell you something, and you may not want to know this, but lightning hits an airplane on average about once a year.
Really?
I did not know. It's a lot more common that you think. In their career, you talk to a seasoned airline pilot, and he'll tell you in his career he's had it happen, you know, more than a dozen times. So,
really?
But planes are designed to whip off electricity off onto these very thin. You might even see them if you look in aircraft. You see those little thin. They look like strings almost coming off at tips of the wings.
Okay.
Those are static discharges. But in any event, the fact of the matter was this lightning bolt hit a wing tank and ignite and caused a piece of the wing to fall off.
Okay.
That in itself did not doom that airplane. The plane could have landed.
Sure.
Experienced pilots could have, with luck and, you know, the blessing of God, landed that airplane.
But well, yeah.
The fact of the matter is there's nothing you can do when the center of the aircraft blows apart. That's dooming the plane.
Well, we've seen holes in the sides of planes, too.
Pardon me?
We've seen holes in the sides of planes, and, of course, the movie Airport, as released in 1970, was also very, like a Boeing commercial for 2 hours. I mean, hole ripped in the side of a 707, they managed to land the thing. So, but the center, yeah.
They're remarkable in how strong they are, in fact. It's amazing. But in any event, this thing happened in 1963. In 1964, there was a similar explosion of a wing tank, and on it went through the 60s, into the 70s, the 80s, and even the 1990s, there were fuel tank explosions on commercial airliners. Now, what happened was that the investigators would trot out, and they'd try and find out what caused the accident, and they'd say, well, in this case, static electricity caused this fuel tank to blow up, or in this case, a pump malfunction caused the tank to blow up. Or in this case, it was a bad piece of logo lighting that was running through the tank that caused it to blow up. So there were all sorts of different ignition sources for causing the explosion, but the bottom line was the tank was still exploding. And the reason that the tank was still exploding is that Boeing designs its airliners so that underneath the center tank there are heat-generating machines. These heat-generating machines make the fuel inside the tank hot. Now, that's okay if there's fuel inside the tank. Fuel is used as a heat sink, and that's not a bad engineering principle. But if there's no fuel in the tank, as is routine on larger aircraft, if there's no fuel in the tank, the fumes get very hot and turn into an explosive mix. And that's exactly what happened on TWA Flight 800. And after Flight 800, the FAA, turned to the people who build these aircraft and say, well, let's find out how often this is the case. How often is a fuel tank in an explosive state? And this is Boeing's answer, about 30% of the time.
30%.
30%.
Why haven't they fixed it? What could be done to fix this?
Well, there's all sorts of things that could be done to fix. I'm still in the process of learning some of the new ways that are just being looked at now. But as far back as 1963, I'm going back to that Pan Am 707 with the lightning that we talked about earlier, there was a company called Parker Hannifin. They still exist. And they were experimenting with something called fuel tank inerting. It's a process where they send nitrogen into the tank, which removes the oxygen, and there can be no explosion, because without oxygen, as you know from your high school science classes, you can't have fire. So,
Christine, we're gonna have to
put you on hold
online
for a second. Keep talking to Christine Negroni about her book Deadly Departure as we continue past quarter after the hour here on the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World.
Travel World Radio Show.
Cancer.
The hospital where I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer offered only traditional treatments.
Cancer survivor Linda Brown.
I was determined to fight. I wanted more options. I kept asking them, what about nutrition and supplements? What about alternative treatments? Finally, their oncologist said, try Cancer Treatment Centers of America. They had everything I was looking for. Cancer Treatment Centers of America helped me get my life back. Everyone at their hospitals is on the cutting edge of their field. They treated me, the whole person, not just the tumor, with a personalized treatment plan. It included the latest medical technology and advanced nutritional therapy to stimulate my immune system to fight my disease.
Find out about our alternative treatment options. Call toll-free 1-800-234-2493.
Today, I have no sign of cancer.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America, winning the fight against cancer every day.
Do you want to get the best price on your prescription drugs? If you don't have a prescription plan or you're on Medicare, then listen to this. With the People's Prescription Plan, you get the lowest prices on your prescriptions, on the spot, at tens of thousands of locations nationwide. Members have already saved over $80 million simply by showing their membership card. For just $7.95 a month, you can use your card for everyone in your household. There are no claim forms. Plus, your entire family can also save up to 50% on prescription eyewear. Call 1-800-854-4800 and have your credit card ready. That's 1-800-854-4800. You get full family coverage, unlimited savings, and a money-back guarantee, all for just $7.95 a month. Call 1-800-854-4800 and get the lowest price on your prescriptions. That's 1-800-854-4800. This offer is brought to you by People's Benefit Services. It's available in most states. Your actual savings may vary.
The truth behind the income tax video was produced so you can finally understand how the American people have been hoodwinked into believing they are required to use a Social Security number to participate in government entitlement programs and to pay employment taxes. This must-see video is required viewing for those who are tired of big government draining the financial resources from the marketplace and from the family's pocketbook, forcing both husband and wife to work in order to earn a living, often at more than one job each, just so the family can exist, causing terrible stress on everyone. This eye-opening two-hour videotape can be purchased for only $24 post-paid. Make your check or money order payable to Liberty Works Radio Network and mail it to The Truth Behind the Income Tax, 12 Carroll Street, Westminster, Maryland, 21157. Act now and learn the lawful way to stop the erosion of your family's financial resources. That's The Truth Behind the Income Tax, 12 Carroll Street, Westminster, Maryland, 21157. Only $24 postpaid.
The iWave is here.
Welcome to CommandCast.
Revolutionizing audio on the World Wide Web. CommandCast.
Breakthrough sound quality.
Best digital audio available.
Unbeaten delivery speed.
Audio within 4 seconds of request.
Welcome to the iWave.
Welcome to CommandCast.
Call 410-857-5600. 410-857-5600.
CommandCast.
At the forefront of change.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has kept millions of young people off drugs, out of gangs, and in school. It's a membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife. You can help. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
To learn more, call 1-800-854-CLUB.
Goodbye to all my friends I've known and the travel agent I trusted. I'm riding along on this beat up old plane. Look out the window, all the rivets are rusted. As that ground crew pushes us backwards on that rickety L-1011, I'm feeling around for that flotation device. And when the safety film is shown, I'm paying close attention. Beat up old jetliner, hope you got a tune-up today. Oh, beat up old jetliner, did they sneak you past the FAA?
Bouncing round in a thundercloud, landing here won't come down. My seat back is up and my belt is on.
I see the fire crew spraying. I know my next flight will surely be free, but I don't think I'll go back up into that piece of shit just to save a few pennies.
Beat up old jetliner. God, I love that song. Yeah, okay. One of our favorites here on Travel World. Well,
that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Talking about air safety and Christine Negroni in her book, Deadly Departure, What Really Happened to TWA Flight 800. Actually, you mentioned that this is not such an uncommon occurrence, but the fuel tanks, why hasn't something been done? If it goes back almost 37 years to that Pan Am incident, the flight from Baltimore to Philadelphia, December 8th, 1963. Why wasn't something done by the FAA or by Boeing? Who is the body that is holding up this action?
The answer is, as it is in so many questions, is money. Back before Flight 800, Boeing made the argument to the FAA quite successfully that there was no need to put such an expensive, maintenance-heavy device on its airliners, and then after Flight 800, it's making the argument to Boeing that, oh, it can do it, but it's so expensive now because they'd have to retrofit. So they didn't want to do it when the planes were first being designed because it was cost too much. Now that they're already flying, they don't want to do it because it'll cost too much.
Well, you're talking about the problem in 30%. You're talking about the problem in 30%. That is a lot of lives to
absolutely
take that kind of a chance with.
It's absolutely a lot, and I think even the FAA was surprised, maybe even Boeing surprised by the number when they first determined what it was. And now it looks like, and, you know, I hate to sound overly optimistic, I am an optimist by nature, but it looks like that the FAA may say, you know what, it doesn't matter, we're going to fix this problem regardless of the fact that it's pricey. Now, you know, maybe I'm wrong. As I said, this is not a new problem, it's a 35-year-old problem. But, you know, I tend to think that that crash, because it was in the nation's largest media center, and because there was so much attention paid to it and there was such a mystery initially, it did have an impact far beyond, you know, had it happened somewhere else, like, you know, some place in the rural Midwest or something where it wouldn't have gotten the attention.
Or in the third world. But, of course, it's one of those instances where there are accountants, bean counters, who are looking and trying to put an actual price on life. They say, well, it's going to cost too many dollars to do this, and how much is a life worth? And there have been other instances. We read the book Unfriendly Skies, the other Unfriendly Skies by Rodney Stitch, former FAA administrator and investigator, and he said, well, they actually look at different figures and say, well, it's going to cost too much, and it's a whole risk-cost analysis done. And decisions are made that it isn't worth X number of dollars to save Y number of lives.
Sure. That's right. He's right.
Christine, considering this is a money issue and people are doing this over money and putting prices on lives, I would consider that an abuse of power. Now, wouldn't you say? The thing I'm getting at is, what can the listeners do? I mean, we're people of action here at Liberty Works. What can we do?
Well, I think there's two things. And one answer your listeners might like, one answer your listeners might not like. I mean, they're frequent travelers. They like to travel. And what do they like? What do they like about travel? You can get a ticket. If you're careful and shop around, you can get a ticket at a deeply discounted price. But the fact of the matter is, air safety costs money. And deeply discounted tickets and the competition among airlines, to offer the cheapest ticket, it works. And people want to buy cheap tickets, and they don't want to spend a lot of money, and they may not be willing to pay for air safety. So, that's one answer, and that's the answer I think that they're not going to like. The other answer is that the FAA and a lot of regulating agencies operate on public pressure. And so long as you pointed out in the third world, or as I pointed out in Kansas somewhere, this issue may not have gotten the attention it got because it went down in New York. There is an opportunity for people to pressure the government over this. What are we going to do about this crash? Let's not let it go off the radar screen.
But what kind of pressure, Christine? What kind of pressure can they do? I mean,
airplane crashes are a media event,
right?
And everyone turns on their TV and they watch. And I watched the DC-8 that crashed into the parking lot in San Francisco on live television, and then they had the other one that I think it was an American airliner that plowed into a gas station or whatever. There wasn't anyone hurt, but it was live on the air for 4, 5, 6 hours. The fact of the matter is, the public's attention, the media's attention, skits from one to the next disaster. And Flight 800 now is in many people's eyes ancient history. And
I can't go on any more trips.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to fly now. I'm not willing to take that 70% chance of living.
Art, you never make it on any trip. You win the record for the one who made the longest, most drawn-out excuse for not ever making a trip.
30% chance of not making it to my destination. Well, I'm not willing to take that chance.
That's true. Well,
I'm going to argue with you on that, because I don't think that air travel is unsafe. I think it can be safer, and I think that's the point of a book like Deadly Departure is, let's get educated about what exactly the issues are,
right?
So that we can, if you are going to write a letter to your congressman, or you are going to, call up a radio show and express your opinion, or write a letter to the editor, or make your voice heard in whatever way, maybe by voting with your checkbook the next time you go on an airline, you don't go on a deeply discounted air carrier that you know to be unsafe, I'm not going to name any names, but you go with an airline that pays attention to safety, like some of the major U.S. carriers, and then so you do make your voice heard in those ways. But you can't unless you get educated about it, and that's why we started talking about the missile theory conspiracy theorists. Maybe we should end up with them, but as long as we allow that kind of uneducated nonsense to really catch on in the public, catch public attention, you cast a big shadow of doubt over the real cause. And the real cause is a lack of attention to a real problem. It's not the Navy shooting down this airplane and then keeping it hush hush while thousands of people hide this conspiracy. That's nonsense. It's just not real. What's much more likely, that Boeing and the other aircraft manufacturers back in the 60s did everything they could to prevent putting an explosion protection device on airplanes because it would cost too much? Yeah, I think that's a much more likely factor.
And government bodies, in this case the FAA, stood idly by and were
basically in cahoots with them.
The
documents are in there. The documents are in there. The interviews with Boeing engineers who testified against this program back in the 60s, who told me in the 80s, the particular Boeing engineer in Deadly Departure said, by the 1980s, I went back to my own bosses, and I said to them, we can do this. We can put fuel tank explosion prevention devices on airplanes. We've reduced the size, weight, and cost penalties tenfold. Let's do it. And Boeing still didn't do it. And they allowed the 7.5, the 7.6, and the 7.7 to take to the air, none of them with these devices, even though the technology was there.
Right, the technology was there. Now, just another case of people not exactly knowing what is going on behind the scenes that can affect them in their daily lives.
Exactly. And your listeners are travelers. This is just the kind of stuff they want to know about.
Is this just a Boeing thing? Because it seems to me, I mean, they were building the 77, made a great big hoo-ha about it. And at the time, you'd think, okay, they're going to do this while they're building the airplane. Because right now, with heated competition from Airbus, even though Boeing purchased Douglas, you still have, it seemed to me it's well known among airline execs. I wouldn't buy a Boeing airplane if I knew it had a 30% chance of it blowing up.
I think it's not a 30% chance of it blowing up. Let me correct that. It's a 30% chance that 30% of the time that the tanks are in an explosive state. But let me tell you this. I think Boeing is worried about this because it's not an Airbus problem. Airbus has a different design. They vent the heat away from the tank. So even though the machinery is in the same place below the fuel tank on Airbus products, there's enough space between the machinery and the fuel tank to run a ventilation system so that some of that heat is drawn away from the aircraft. And that's a crucial difference. And the scientists are still trying to figure out exactly why and how much of a difference. But the word has gotten to the FAA and to the safety board that Airbus does not have this problem and Boeing does.
Christine, we'd like to keep you on following the next break.
Keep you on for a couple of minutes. We're coming up to half past the hour. Time to take a short news break with Mark Allen at the Liberty Works News Central in Maryland. And then we'll be back with Christine Negroni and then Alan Friedman, the Chicago taxi driver, on Travel World across America on the Liberty Works Radio Network. So keep on
rocking me, baby. You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Wheels off a car.
Stay listening. Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
This is Liberty Works Network News, and I'm Mark Allen. Thousands of Christian pilgrims thronged the narrow streets of the old city of Jerusalem, briefly mingling with Jews visiting the Wailing Wall at Passover. Christians from Italy, Poland, Romania, and as far away as the Philippines.
I had to do a phone call.
The streets of the ancient city.
Christine still going to be on
Easter
with you guys?
The Holy
yeah, we're going to keep Christine on with us. But call the guy anyway in case he's got Eisenthalitis.
Okay.
And follows the visit by Pope John Paul II in March. Many pilgrims are said to have been disappointed when they were turned away from Christianity's holiest site, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus was said to have been crucified and buried before rising on Easter Sunday. A guard at the church said it was only open for priests coming to pray or for silent devotion. Ethiopian Christians held a service in their tiny chapel while priests shooed away tourists trying to take photographs. Scientists in the U.S. say they've rewired the visual input of young animals to a part of the brain normally used for hearing, demonstrating a versatility of function that someday could lead to treatments for brain damage and blindness. Researchers connected inputs from the eye to a part of the brain called the auditory cortex to enable ferrets to respond to visual signals.
Mr. Friedman ready to go,
then. Fantastic.
So we'll finish up with Christine first,
Reuters,
and then, you'll hear us roll over into Alan.
For vision to be mediated by new areas of the brain.
Do you think this idea of
the function of the visual cortex.
I said, what do you think
That's
of this
the
theory?
News on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
If you're overweight, the catabolic diet is the most effective, unbelievable program ever created based on over 100 foods that remove calories from your body. Did you know that every food that enters your body requires various body organs such as liver, spleen, stomach, digestive juices to complete digestion? For example, an ordinary piece of cake that has 300 calories may require 25 calories to complete digestion, but a catabolic food that contains 50 calories may require 100 calories to complete digestion, actually removing fat from your body. Diets based on catabolic foods result in staggering weight losses. According to the doctor that created the program, the diet works three times faster than starvation. One lady, written up in the Journal of Medicine, actually lost 256 pounds in a matter of months.
To order the catabolic diet for only $19.95, call 1-800-531-7792 to finally lose those unwanted pounds. Call 1-800-531-7792.
This traffic's backed up almost a mile.
Yeah, probably just gawkers looking at an accident. Whew.
Some people.
Well, if there was an accident, I hope they call the police, especially if there's an injury. You know, a police report verifies the accident if damage is discovered later.
I know.
And I hope they contacted their insurance company as soon as possible. You know, some policies require notice within 24 hours.
I know.
They should find a reputable repair facility to find out how much damage was done to their vehicle and how
30.
Long it'll take to fix. And you know, they should make sure their car drives the same after the accident.
I know. Oh, look, see, it's just an accident. You know, we wouldn't have so many accidents if people would just pay attention to...
I know.
15?
Know what to do if you're in an accident. Look for an iCar Gold Class Professional business. This message brought to you by the iCar Gold Class Professionals program and this station.
Another hits from the Bob Rivers Twisted Tunes number 2.
Yes, Willem Backus Music Library with his religious selection to celebrate
Easter
and Passover and everything else.
We have the Easter Bonnie behind the console.
Happy Passover.
And so we were talking about TWA
800. Yeah, we're finishing up with Christine Negroni and her book Deadly Departure. And one last question. What exactly happened? The last minutes of Flight 800, a lot of speculation. What really happened in those last minutes, if you can sum it up for us?
Well, I detail that in pretty extensive detail in Deadly Departure. And with this caveat, no one will ever know what those last minutes were like for the people aboard the plane.
I'd say pretty scary.
People who have read the book say that it was the most riveting part of the book because I spent a great, great deal of time trying to reconstruct the actions of the crew, the actions of the passengers, the actions inside, you know, the momentum, the motion inside the aircraft, talking to lots and lots of experts who work with aerodynamics and biodynamics and people who knew the captain. There were actually two captains on board that flight. There were three captains, one retired who was a training flight engineer. So there were three extremely experienced senior 747 captains in the cockpit and one student, flight engineer student. So I spoke to people who knew them. I spoke to pilots who had lived through harrowing flights of their own to get an idea of what sort of thoughts go through their heads, what they found themselves doing physically, and what one of the things revealed in Deadly Departure, in fact, it's on the very first page that hadn't been reported before, was that there's not really very much doubt that all the folks inside the flight deck, the captains aboard the aircraft, were alive at the time of the explosion and were alive until they hit the water. And we know that because the emergency oxygen switches were in the on position, which indicates that the crew knew that there was something amiss and immediately started going through their emergency checklist, the first action of which required them to put on their masks and turn the oxygen to an emergency position. So we know they were alive. We know that they probably tried to do whatever they could to bring that to try and fly that aircraft, but obviously the crew and that front part of the aircraft had separated from the wings in the back of the aircraft. There was no way they were going to be able to fly that. They had no control. They had no electricity. They had no light. They had nothing except a desire to live and to try and save that aircraft, which, of course, was futile.
Right.
So that part of the disaster is very well researched and documented in Deadly Departure. And we take it all the way up until the crash of Egypt Air back last October.
Sounds like
try and parallel those two crashes.
Sounds like a very riveting read, Deadly Departure by Christine Negroni. Where can we get your book?
Well, my book is available at all the online booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Borders, et cetera, et cetera. And in bookstores. Now, I know you have...
Well, I did check in Montreal as well, and it is available at Chapters, and if they don't have it at your local branch, they can order it and get it to you within a couple of days. So Deadly Departure by Christine Negroni, available at a bookstore near you. I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning, letting us in on something that is not all that widely reported about possible safety threats to travelers.
An air controversy.
Yes, thank you, Christine.
Thanks for joining us. So that was a bit of an interesting theory there, Steve.
Always something open for discussion.
That Boeing has been building defective planes for over 30 years. The world's largest airplane manufacturer. I mean, I watched a whole documentary on the building of the 777. Now, that plane was designed from the ground up. I don't know. If it's so simple for Airbus to go building a plane without a defect like that, why wouldn't Boeing put it in if they could while they're doing
figure.
It? You'd figure.
You'd figure.
So I don't know about that theory, Steve. What do you think?
Well, nothing will surprise me in this day and age as to what people know and what people do are two different things. So it's always one of those cases of... what they tell you in one instance versus what you tell in the other, and I think it's up to the individual listener to make up his own mind.
I mean, you know that the story. I mean, talking about fuel vapors, everybody's automobile, if your tank is not full, you've got fuel vapor in there, and it is in the explosive state because it's meant to blow up.
Said I'm not driving anymore either.
There you go.
He will go back and take his...
By the end of this show, I'm going to stop.
If you had a horse-drawn cart... Art, if you had a horse-drawn cart, the horse could run away, it could get spooked by lightning and run away and crash against the tree. So there's always going to be danger out there.
Then I'll walk. And then you can step into a bear trap.
Yes, or quicksand. So there's always going to be a danger out there, and just have to keep your eyes open. And maybe,
I suppose so. I mean, we still have to point out the statistics of air travel. It is statistically the safest mode of transport around.
Apparently.
I mean, with all the
number of fatalities per passenger mile traveled, which is the benchmark that you use when you take a number of miles traveled by number of passengers carried for automobiles, motor coaches, train, and plane, the aircraft...
But I still don't know about this. I mean, on the 747, they have four redundant hydraulic systems. The airplane crash, the DC-10 that crashed in Sioux City, Iowa, back in 1989, that was three hydraulic systems. One fan blade cut through all three at the same time. Airplane lost power, and they crashed, despite the valiant efforts of the crew. But the 747's got four redundant hydraulic systems. So if Boeing's going to put four hydraulic systems in their jet, you'd think they'd do something about an explosive fuel tank if they knew about it, don't you think?
Sounds like
I think maybe it was a broken plane. If it's a fuel tank thing, it may have been a broken plane, but it's my theory.
There's always maintenance in any case is always going to be drawn to the equation.
We go to the Windy City of Chicago.
I was there last June at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, the Radio Hall of Fame, and joining us now is Alan Friedman. He's a lifelong Chicago resident, been involved in the taxi industry for 49 years. He's the author of Driving Pursuits of a Chicago Cabbie. Good morning, Alan.
Thank you, and good morning to all the folks out there.
Well, glad to have you with us here on Travel World. 49 years driving a taxi. I'm sure you've seen a number of remarkable things, both good and bad, in your career.
Oh, that I have. I've seen so many things that I set them all down to writing in the book, Driving Pursuits of a Chicago Cabbie.
That's got to be really interesting. First of all, you get to know a little bit about Chicago and what the place is like, also the underground a little bit, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, from the ordinary people off the street, the businessmen and women, or the traveler to the, yuppie crowd at night in the Lincoln Park area. A great many varied people that I deal with every single evening and night.
Now, you've had a number of incidents happen to you, particularly at nighttime. The Chicago, it's like any big city, it has its elements.
Elements.
Well, I'll tell you, I laugh at it now, but it wasn't so laughable or funny at the time that it happened. For instance, on a number of years back, I picked up three gals from a video store, teenagers, you would think, well, hey, they're good, honest gals and no problems, and they wanted to go several miles north to the north side of Chicago in a very good neighborhood. We got to this side street, and all of a sudden they said stop, and the doors flew open with the lights on, the motor running, the doors open. Here they bolted out, then my door opened, and I bolted out. I ran after them. They were trying to take off without paying, very innocently.
Oh,
but
no.
I ran after one through a long passageway in a building and up three flights of back stairs. And there on the third floor, I caught this one filly trying to hide behind a garbage can. Well, I collared her, marched her down the stairs, and said, hey, what goes on? What's the meaning of this? She says, well, I didn't know what my girlfriends were going to... I says, you didn't know. I says, that's why you ran
with That's the
them.
Oldest one in the
you
book.
Were well aware of it.
Yeah.
No, not me. It was just my friends. Yeah.
Yes. I hear voices. It was my invisible friend.
Yeah. The devil told me to do
said,
it.
Well, you better figure out a way how you're going to pay. She says, well, let me go to one of my girlfriend's house and see if I can get the money. Okay, so we went to one girlfriend's house.
Were they good looking?
I don't know if they were good looking. I was too emotionally distraught at the time.
I would
time.
Imagine, yeah.
I guess.
Not that you'd be in a frame of mind.
This girlfriend turned her down and said, hey, I don't have the money. And on top of that, the girlfriend's mother came down the stairs and she knew this girl. She said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for what you have done. She said, you have got to go to your mother and father and tell them the problem and the story. She says, don't come here. Well, the poor girl, she was so frightened and ashamed, she was afraid to go home to her folks. So now she marched out glumly, face down, when she came across a male acquaintance when he told him the problem, he says, well, if you'll drive me up to the cash station, I'll get the money if you don't charge me for the cab ride. I says, well, sure, I want to get my money. So I took him up there, came back, got my money, and said goodbye, and that was it.
Good Holy story. God. We're talking to Alan Friedman, Chicago taxi driver here on Travel World, and we'll be back after a short break to learn more about the... funny incidents driving a cab in a big city. Stay listening to Travel World across America on the Voice of Truth and Broadcasting, the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Across America via satellite.
Travel World will continue. Stay listening.
Travel World Radio Show.
P.O. Box 91, Westminster, Maryland, 21158. For more information.
It's a fact. More and more vehicle accidents are being blamed on the use of cell phones while driving. Some states have made it illegal to use a phone while driving unless it's equipped with a hands-free speakerphone. That's why we developed the Navigator Hands-Free Kit that turns your cell phone into a speakerphone. It even powers and charges, and you can move it between vehicles without expensive adapters or installation. The Navigator Hands-Free Kit is a snap to install and incredibly easy to use with your Motorola StarTAC or Nokia 5100 or 6100 series cellular phones. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. Order the Navigator Hands-Free Kit for only $69.95. An optional universal kit is available for most other phones without the charger for $49.95. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. If not satisfied, return it within 90 days for a full, no-questions-asked refund. At $69.95, the Navigator is much less expensive than the adapters cell phone companies want to sell you. Call 1-800-695-7698 now.
Listen, it's okay to hassle with a handheld trimmer now and then, or even a small wheels mower, as long as you stick to short grass. But now you can have the best of both machines in the revolutionary two machines in one DR trimmer mower. First, the DR is a trimmer that rolls light as a feather on two big wheels. That takes the load off your back while you do all your trimming. Second, the DR is a heavy-duty bladeless mower. It clears rough areas, roadside ditches, tall weeds, brambles, even wet grass without clogging. There's no steel blade to bend or dull. So now, with this one machine, you can take control of your property like never before with the revolutionary two machines in one DR trimmer mower. Call toll-free 1-800-297-4411. That's 1-800-297-4411 for your big color catalog and free video all about the revolutionary two machines in one DR trimmer mower.
Just got home from Illinois, locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in, pretty soon I'm singing.
Looking out my back door. Welcome back to Travel World with Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, Art Farley in studio, and we have Taxi Cab Confessions.
Oh, Alan Friedman written his book, Driving Pursuits of a Chicago Cabbie, 49 Years Behind the Wheel. And we were just talking during the break, and there was a question that Art here has always wanted to ask a taxi driver.
Art, ask the taxi.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
He's got his mind up in the gutter.
Have you ever experienced any orgies in the back of your cab?
Experienced?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've had...
And lesbians and stuff. And
well, let him
you ever have a woman just sit in a chair there? And
let him ask
well,
a question.
Well, I've had a situation where I picked up a couple one evening, and I had the woman alone several times before. She was a waitress by trade. Now, this evening, she had a boyfriend with her, and we were heading to her house on the west side of Chicago, which necessitated our taking the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we no sooner got onto the expressway driving 60 miles an hour than, lo and behold, she disappeared. I couldn't see her in my mirror.
Was she a lesbian?
Keep going, Alan.
Art's mind is going wandering, yes.
Keep going.
I couldn't see her. And the next minute, I couldn't see him. And the next minute, I heard strange noises emanating from the back seat of the cab.
Well, it is.
There was nothing I could do, nothing I could say, because here I was in the midst of traffic going 60 miles an hour. And thankfully that when we reached her house, they were through with their indigenous deed.
Indigenous deed. Very well put.
I heard it called that.
They were going 60 miles an hour, because sometimes the traffic heading out westbound out of Chicago, particularly towards O'Hare, it's bumper to bumper.
At least they finished.
Yeah, they had time to finish it. They didn't.
Art asks about lesbians because we know the radio equation. Lesbians equals ratings.
Absolutely. Yes. Lesbian. Lesbian.
So,
any babies?
Now, tell me, Alan, what was the scariest moment you've ever had?
Because you mentioned here you went to the Cabrini Green Project, and I think other than the Taylor homes, I mean, this has to be about the tied for the number one spot in Chicago that you want to avoid.
Okay, for a number of years, the so-called Cabrini Green captured the headlines as far as the most dangerous and scariest place to be, even in the daytime, let alone at the night. I had picked up this couple. They're coming from a well-to-do apartment building up on the north side of Chicago, and they wanted to go down to the so-called Rush Street area on a Saturday evening. And pretty soon the man began talking with me and asking me about, he said, first of all, I hear that the so-called Cabrini Green area is a place where one can readily buy drugs. I said, yes, you can. I said, but it's a very dangerous area. He said, well, if it is not too far out of the way, I'd like to go there.
Aye.
I said, sir, do you realize that that is a dangerous area? There have been murders, rapes, and everything imaginable inside of that project. It is not the best place to go. Oh, he says, don't worry. I read up all about that in a magazine, and I've heard all about it.
Famous last
and
words.
No matter what amount of talking I did, I could not dissuade him from going to that project. And I said to myself,
This guy has only been in Chicago a short time, and he's become an astute authority upon that project. When everybody else tries to avoid it, he wants to go there. Well, we went into the project, and we were on the main street, and we passed two decrepit-looking characters sitting on a wooden box. "Stop the cab," he yelled. I stopped the cab and pulled over. He said, opened up the window, and he began talking to the two fellas, and he tells them, "I would like to buy some drugs, and I've got $800 to deal with."
Oh, well, there's an open invitation. Oh. Yes.
I couldn't believe my ears what they were hearing. This guy was a fool. So now he's talking to them, and they said, "Okay, you have to go across the street to the that high-rise building up to the top floor." So he went out with these two fellas, disappeared into the doorway, while his woman companion sat in the cab with locked doors and my not-for-hire sign down as we sat there waiting. Well, as we waited, we heard two shots ring out.
Oh, no.
Gunshots. Now, we didn't know where or what. All we know, we sat there scared and just nervously scanned around and began to sweat a bit. And after a while, I said to her, "Ma'am, I don't know about you, but I have waited here long enough. I don't know if your friend is coming back or not, but I want to get out of here." So she said, "Okay," and I drove her back to her apartment.
Hi.
And nobody ever knows to this day what happened to him, or did it make the news the next day?
I never did find out if he got hijacked or if he got his life taken away.
Did you ever get hijacked?
Huh?
Did you ever get hijacked?
Well, I've got attempted robbery on me several times.
Uh-huh.
One time, now this wasn't far from where the where I took this fellow, and I took a woman and right to the edge of the Cabrini Green project, and she got out, paid her money, got out, and I went ahead and I sort of hesitated too long, when all of a sudden here comes a guy, reached into the open window and tried to reach into my pocket for my money. Well, I grabbed his hand, and he couldn't do anything. So now he pulled it back, and in a fit of rage, he went ahead and socked me about an inch above my eye.
Aye.
And it was a gash that drew blood and it required 7 stitches.
Now, somebody's going to Chicago. What would be your tip on areas to avoid and areas which are great areas to visit?
Well, the areas to visit naturally are the downtown area, the near north side, or the so-called near west side. Or so forth. These are areas that one can visit, they can enjoy, and especially along Chicago's magnificent lakefront, which has the most beautiful lakefront of anywhere in the world.
Oh, I really
adorned with, huh?
I really enjoyed my time there back in June of last year. You looked out of the hotel and you could see people on the beach and walking and rollerblading and cycling. Beautiful lakefront area.
And
how many babies have you brought into the world?
Believe it or not, I've never had that happen.
Really? I guess never. That only happens in New York.
Or in the movies. Or
That's low. That's low. It's like talking to Montreal or Toronto.
There's certain cities.
I'll tell you, it has happened to some of my cab driver friends in Chicago, but generally it doesn't happen too often.
Very quickly.
People are generally, they're kind of careful.
Where can we get your book, Alan? I mean, Driving Pursuits of a Chicago Cabbie has a lot of stories in it. Where can our listeners pick up a copy?
Okay, they can get it by ordering from 1-800-444-2524. Again, 1-800-444-2524. And
They can order the book from them, Driving Pursuits of a Chicago Cabbie. And I have talked to, maybe 3-4 dozen people who have bought the book from me in the cab, and they says, great book, great book. And this is not a, you know, sales pitch. I'm telling you what they told me. They says they really enjoyed it. It was really interesting.
Well, it's very interesting, Alan. We'd like to have you on again. Tell us more stories of the Windy City. Just before we let you go, tell us what were the most dangerous areas to avoid in Chicago?
The most dangerous area, of course, is the Cabrini Green or the Robert Taylor Homes. Well, you know, most people are not going to be traveling around there or even be walking through there. You just wouldn't. I mean,
just areas you wouldn't be going to.
Huh?
Just areas you wouldn't be going to.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Alan Friedman, thanks for joining us this morning on Travel World. It's been a pleasure, and next week we'll be talking here on Travel World with Melanie Reffes about her trip to Tokyo. That's next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern for the Travel World Radio Show across America on the Voice of Truth and Broadcasting, the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Art Farley.
Join us again next week on Travel World. Travel World is produced in Montreal by the Nascore Marketing Company.
Liberty Works Radio. If you'd like an audio copy of any of our programs, please call 410.
Thanks again, Bonnie, for another show.
Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Very happy Easter to you and your family.
Me too.
All right, bye-bye.